All right, just so everybody knows, this is not my Bible, okay? This is my Bible. But what this helps, when you get my age and your eyesight's beginning to fail, I can see a little better on there sometimes than I can. I need bigger print, okay? Anyway, good to have you here today. Thank you for coming. If you're new here, we welcome you and thank you for coming and being a part of our service today. As we all know, we're in a different world again. Things are changing continually. You wake up every morning, or I do, and I wonder what's going to change today in our world. But today I want to focus a little bit. If you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, that's where we're going to be today. Okay. And just before we get into that, I want to give you a little background about Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 was written to the early Christian Jewish believers, okay? And what was happening at that time, those early believers, the early Jewish Christians, were facing a lot of adversary. So much so that what had began to happen is because they had put their faith and their trust in the crucified Lord and the Savior, they were beginning to be persecuted severely, some even to the point of death, okay? So it was bad enough for their own religious, and I want to use that word carefully, religious, take note, their own religious leaders. The Sanhedrin, the rabbinic establishment, were beginning to really put pressure on the ones who had put their trust and their faith in the real Messiah, okay? That was enough. They were getting it from all sides. But I want to tell you, it got worse. Let me tell you what changed. What changed was the one that came into power in Rome at that time. His name was Nero. So here they had not only some of their own religious leaders persecuting them, now they had the government joining in and doing the same. Peter and Paul were put to death under the rule of Nero. That's how bad it was, okay? According to a lot of records, okay? So what is this about today? Well, when I look around and I watch some news and I talk to people and I observe what I see going on the best I can, I'm beginning to see more and more people losing. Can anybody guess what it might be? Hope. All right? Not everybody, but some more than others. And even if you're not, there will have been times in your life, I'm sure, where you've felt quite hopeless. So I don't want to leave you today in a state of hopelessness, okay? But rather, I want you to understand that regardless of what goes on in our world, in your life, and there can be some terrible things happen in our lives, we know that. We see it. We feel it. We hear it. But there is a hope that we can put our faith and our trust in that is not the kind of hope that people talk about in this world when they refer to hope so often. You and I have done it. I still do it once in a while. And there is a reason for using hope in that term, okay? But when we talk about Scripture and look at Scripture, what we're going to find is that the hope that we talk about as Christians, according to the Scriptures, is not the same hope. Did you know that? Now, how many of you here have heard people say, I hope or I wish? They can go hand in hand in the worldly terms. I hope or I wish. You know what? I bought a lottery ticket. You know what I'm hoping and wishing? I win. Okay? I hope that my job doesn't disappear. I hope that my bank account doesn't disappear. I hope my friends do not disappear. I hope all kind of things don't disappear. Well, but I want to ask you something, and that's this. What if it does? What if what you're putting your hope and your wishes in disappear? I want to assure you they can, and I'm sure you already know that. But we still keep hoping and we still keep wishing things would go good, stay good, and continue good. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had that happen where it's just continually went good? If you have, raise your hand. We need you to get to teach a lesson or something. Okay? I have not had that experience. In fact, I'll tell you what happens in my case. There are times, and I'm being dead honest, when things start going really, really good, you may find this funny, but I get nervous. What is coming now? Okay, it's kind of like building you up and then kicking things out from under you, right? Because I've experienced that so much that I almost expect it to happen. Why? Because that kind of hope that I have in the things of this world, I know in the back of my mind is not going to last. It's changing continually. We look at what's going on in our world with COVID and with all of these things that we see happening, U.S. elections. By the way, Mr. Trump really is hoping. And Mr. Biden is really hoping. Okay? We're not going to get political here, but I'm just wanting you to understand there is a different hope that I want us to talk about today. The book, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, is known often as the book of faith, okay? And it is a book of faith. But I want you to know there's something else that is mentioned, and the idea of hope is just as much a part of the 11th chapter of Hebrews as faith, okay? So, when we look at this book, we aren't going to look at every single verse all the way through. We don't have time, okay? But I want us to get a general sense that we need to understand, and that is faith is the, now this word is very important, faith is the assurance, or some would say the substance of hope. I want you to know, if you put your faith in the worldly hope, I want you to know your faith will fail over and over and over. There are those today teaching not faith in hope, but faith in faith. Let me explain. If you just put your trust in God, and they use their soft tones and voices, some of them, to mislead people into believing that God wants you to have everything when? Now. That's what they're teaching. And they're filling stadiums with this kind of talk. Why? Because their faith is in faith. In other words, if you don't have all these things, you don't have enough faith. Faith in what? They are teaching faith in this world, that God is going to give you everything in this world. You won't have to face any hardships. You won't have to face any troubles. But I want you to know that that is not the truth. We are going to face trials and tribulations in this life. So if our faith is built on faith, when all these things that they say we should have, if we don't, it's because our faith isn't any good, okay? Then it's just because we don't have enough faith. But I want you to remember something very important, what Jesus said, because that's all that matters, right? What Jesus said is what matters, not what I say or anyone else. If it is not Jesus' words or his scriptures, it really isn't important. But Jesus said, my kingdom is not, anyone want to finish it for me? Not of this world. There you go. What more do you need to know? Jesus said, the kingdom that I'm talking about is not even of this world. These other people are saying, oh, yes, you need everything. You can have everything now. It's not what Jesus said. Okay? Be careful. The world is full of deception, as you can see. Look at the U.S. elections. We look at all kinds of things. It's on the big news. Deceit all over the place. Be careful. Okay? But let's begin in verse 1 of chapter 11. We're going to be looking at faith and hope, okay? So it begins off, it says, now, faith is the substance or the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Would you rather put your faith, like some people do, and hope in things that they can see? So therefore, my hope is in that because I can see it. Or what about the things that people are putting their faith and hope in that are not seen? Let's move on. It says, for it is, or for by it, elders obtained a good report. And in a few minutes, I'm going to help us understand how these people that's listed that we're going to be looking at, found favor with the Lord. Okay? Favor with the Lord. That's what it says here, by for their faith and their hope, they obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Stop there just for a moment. Who is he talking about? The world was framed by the word of God. Who is the word? Jesus, right? He is the word. He framed it. That's what I believe. That's what Christians should believe, that God, Jesus, were involved in the beginning and framed the world. I am not an evolutionist, never will be. Because why? I don't want to put said happened and believe it. So, important thing. When I hope for something in this world's terms that I wish would happen, but I know it may or may not. Okay? But it's different when it comes to the scriptures referring to hope. It's a hope that is a future fact. It will happen. It's going to happen. I believe it so much that I'm going to be faithful to it. And my hope and my trust is in that because I believe what God said is in store. I believe what's coming for us is spelled out in Scripture in many places about the future of the church. Listen, we've been going through some prophecy studies here. Have you enjoyed those? I enjoy it. I really do. Why? Because it helps us stay focused on the future that he has promised us. If we don't believe in anything in the future is going to happen that's any good, I'll tell you, we're in a hopeless world. Billy Graham, when they went to Russia, when they left, they said one of the things that stood out the most was the hopeless look on people's faces. It was just like a country with no hope. That's what socialism and communism does. It steals the hope of the people. There's no incentive. We as Christians don't want to do that. I want to give you one story to help you understand this a little more. A Christian, he's a Jewish man that lives in the U.S. now. His name is Dennis Prager. Pray that he will get saved. He's a very intelligent man. I like listening to lots of his stuff on the first four books of the Bible. Okay. But he said growing up in Israel as a young man, to get a telephone there at that time, because there was so much terrorist activity when Israel became a nation in their early years, they had enemies on all sides. They still do. But to get a phone could take up to 3 years. It was a process. So one day his father decided that they would go down to the place where you apply for a telephone line. They got there, and the old Jewish fellow come up and asked them what they wanted to do, and they said, well, we'd like to apply for a telephone. So anyway, his dad said, okay, I'll fill it out. So he filled out a bunch of papers, a long, long list. They wanted to know all your connections, family history, blah, 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 right? And after a long time, he finished. The older fellow come back, and he said, he asked the older fellow, he said, now, really, how long is this going to take to get a telephone here? This is crazy, like up to 3 years? He said, is there any chance that we might get a telephone sooner? And here's what the old Jewish guy said. Yes, yes, there might be a chance. But there is no hope. Get the message? You can live on chance if you want to, but as far as the hope and you getting that telephone is pretty much zero. I don't want that kind of hope, okay? I want the hope that the scriptures talk about here. So it says in verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds that were framed by the word or by the word of God, so that things which have, excuse me, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Let's move on. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. Okay, so what we're going to do here for just a few minutes, we're going to go through a list of what is sometimes considered the old patriarchs. Okay? They were men that God recognized, and in his eyes, they found favor. To give us some examples, they're going to give us some examples here. And what I want to end up doing before we finish, hopefully we have time, is what you're going to see is the list of people that God used to carry out his plan in a lot of different areas, okay? He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. But we need to put our faith and hope in what he has in store for us, regardless of what's happening in between. Okay? So we're just going to quickly go through a few of these just to remind us of what we're talking about. So here he was talking about Abel's gift, remember, where his gift was acceptable. Cain's was not. What happened? We have the first martyr in the Bible. He gave his life for doing what was right in the eyes of God. He died for it, okay? Then we move on. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him for before his translation. He had his testimony that he pleased God. So what you're going to see here, when we read all these things at the end, basically it's going to say they pleased God. They found favor with God, okay? So we see that happening, okay? By the way, we've seen the first martyr. Now we've seen the first rapture. Don't let anybody tell you the Bible never talks about rapture. It has all kinds of examples, lots of them. And by the way, in the Old Testament, it's over and over, you will see a foreshadow or an example of the rapture corresponding to the rapture that me and you may get to be a part of. Okay? So just remember that. Remember when Moses led the people out of Egypt? You know, they were in captivity. God said, I'm going to bring my people out of there, and I am going to save some of those, and most of those families. I'm going to save them. We're going to come out of there. They came out of there. Where did they go? To the Red Sea. They went into the water, and they come up out of the water, and where did they arrive? Eventually. Took some time, the Promised Land. You and I, when we put our faith in Christ, we're going to go into the water, right up there. We're going to come out of there a new creature, Okay? And we're headed for the ultimate place, heaven. Okay? So just remember, if you don't I hear people saying a lot of times, why do we need to even study the Old Testament? Let me tell you, if you don't understand the Old Testament, you will never understand the New Testament. Never. It won't make any sense to you at all, okay? So let's look at some more examples here. But it says here, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Jeremy, is there a way to turn these lights up a little bit here? Because I'm having a hard time seeing. And there you go. There's more proof. I need eyesight help. Okay. If not, that's fine. Is that it?
Wide open.
Wide open. Okay. Good enough. I'm good. I like being down here, but I guess I missed some light up there. Okay. All right. So, think about Noah for a minute. Okay, the thing that he did, can you imagine building on that ark for years and years and years? People laughing, scoffing. You know what? Because of his faith and his a sure hope, not an I wish or I sure hope it comes to be, he stuck with the task at hand. Did he suffer? Yes, he did. Okay? And yet he continued on. Here is another picture of God delivering his people. Okay? 8 people in the end, right? Talk about faith. Talk about hope and a sure hope. Okay? So we move on. So we can go through a whole list of things, but I want to move on down here for a minute to, you can just take time at home sometime to look at that chapter 11. We're going to continue on in it, but I'll let you look at all the different examples that we might refer to as the patriarchs or the men of faith that found favor with God, okay? So, let's move on. If we go down to, let's go down. Let's go on to verse 8 for now. Well, thank you very much. All right. By faith, Abraham, when he was called out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, what did he do? He obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. Now, I don't know about you. Have you got that kind of faith and hope? How many of you have jumped in your vehicle and took off and felt like you need to go somewhere, but you don't even know where you're? I don't know where I'm even going. How about that? How about people that feel God's call on their life and they're saying, God is calling me somewhere to do something, but I don't yet know where that is. Okay? There are people like that. There's been times in my life when God says, Kurt, I've got something for you to do. What is it? You'll know in time. Some things have to happen. Okay? And that can be very difficult at times, waiting. Patiently waiting. Abraham took off out of his home country looking for a better city in a better promised land that God had promised to him and his descendants, okay? Pretty good. Strong faith, men of hope, okay? Then we move on. I just want to catch a few more of these. Let's go to... let's move on to Moses. Okay, let's go to verse 23. Everybody look at verse 23, please. Okay, it says, by faith, when he was born, by faith Moses, when he was born, hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Let's stop there for a moment. When he was old enough and realized who he really was. I want you to know something very important here. Guess what? He knew that he could become the prince of Egypt. He could have everything at the king's disposal if he wanted. I want you to know that's the way Satan works. Deception used by Satan. If you look, when Jesus went into the wilderness, what did Satan do? He made Jesus all kinds of offers. Every one of them based on the things of this world and what it has to offer. That's why I'm telling you, be careful. When people are deceiving other people, sometimes by the thousands and hundreds of thousands, they are being offered things of this world. And Jesus said, my kingdom isn't even of this world. So here he is. Pharaoh, it says that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Here's what he chose. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than, now this is an important verse, you should underline that one in your Bible, okay? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for how long? For a little while, for a season. You know, we go through seasons every year. Fall doesn't last forever. It becomes winter. And that's what it's saying here. He's decided that I'm putting my faith and hope in my God, and I'm staying with my people regardless of all the suffering and affliction that I may have to face. Now, that's the kind of hope that I want every one of us to have. Today, we come here. We're putting up with things that we're not used to putting up with. You do that through the week. I do it through the week. If I could change something about it, I might. But there are some things that you and I just can't change, right? And so what are we going to do? Are we going to base our hope on a wish? I sure hope it happens. I hope this thing goes away. I hope I'm not persecuted. If I am, I'm going to drop this whole deal. Because that's what the Jews, some of them did in this time. They said, we want to go back under the law just to get out from under the harassment of the Sanhedrin and the rabbinic group in the establishment. But the letter saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Stick with it, okay? But things were tough. Things were very hard, okay? Okay, and it says in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Egypt had a lot of treasure. I don't know if you know it. If you do a little study on it, I'm telling you, the Pharaohs were rich. Okay? But he said he would rather give that up. It says, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, here's something important. If we're going to put our hope and faith in what God has for us in our life in Jesus, I want you to know something. There's rewards. Now, some would say, oh, you shouldn't talk about rewards. Why not? He is the rewarder of our faith. You and I, when we pass and die, we are going to face judgment. Yes, we are. I hear people say, oh, we're all going to face judgment, and they don't even know what they're talking about. But I'll tell you, they are right in one sense. Christians and non-Christians alike are going to face judgment. But they're two different judgments. But I want to bring this up because here's what I want you to know. The unbelievers are going to be judged on their unbelief. Huh? And what else? Well, that's the great white throne judgment. That's right, Renee. That's where the unbelievers are going to be. If you are a follower of Christ, he's going to judge you. Does anybody here want to tell me what we're going to be judged on? We're not going to be judged on all the other things we did, the bad things we did. And let's see, yeah, there's enough good things, Kurt, that you did, I think you can slip in here. That's already decided. That's already determined if you're a believer. You don't have to worry about that. The judgment that we are going to face are the things we did when we had opportunity for Christ and the kingdom, or the things that we did not do. Why? Because then we are going to be rewarded accordingly. Okay? Everybody understand that? Just want you to know. I want you to understand that clear. Okay? So then, that's what he said here. Because respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He had his faith in the one that you couldn't necessarily stand and look in front of you. And it's the same for me and you. Jesus isn't standing here today. But we put our faith in the one that is not seen physically, but the one that we know died for us and created the world. And that's our sure hope, okay? So, just give me a moment here. Okay, what I want to do here, just for a minute now, if you continue on, it's got a lot more people in this chapter that found favor in the eyes of God. But here's what I run into once in a while, and one in particular, one question I've heard a few times that people asked, and I want you to know, when I first heard these questions, I really didn't know what to say. I really didn't. It took some time for me to get the understanding and for me to be able to address this question, and that is, if God is so good, and if God really loves people the way that we say he does, why is there all of the suffering that there is in the world? Okay. Now, you and I would say, well, it's because sin came into the world and these things began to happen. The world began to decay. That's true. But then they will go on and say, I'll give you an example. So why are little children being sold into the sex trade, or older people, or being abused, or being aborted, or being all kinds of things? Does that seem like God is being fair and loving? But here's what I finally concluded. God is coming back, or Jesus is coming back, and he is going to put an end to all of it. Does he know all of these things are happening? Absolutely he does. But I'll tell you, he is a fair and a just God. He will make the right things right, and he will deal with the wrong. But I want you to know something very important. He could come back today. He is coming back, and he is going to put an end to all the deception, the evil, and the deceiver, the great deceiver. He's going to put them away. But if he came back today to do that, if you're not one of his, he's going to take care of you too. But see, the God that we know is being patient and saying, just get right with me. Put your faith, put your hope in a sure hope, and that is in me. I am going to take care of all these other things. But in the meantime, you're going to have to see some things that you don't like. You're going to have to put up with some things that you don't like. You're going to have to put up with some things that you just don't understand. But you leave that to me. I am coming back, and I am going to put an end to it. But I want to give some more time to people to reconsider so I don't have to get rid of them too. That's how much he loves us. In the meantime, there's going to be suffering, okay? Now, through faith, peoples have subdued kingdoms. There's been people led by God to take over kingdoms. They worked righteousness, they obtained promise, they stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, remember Shadrach, Meshach, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong. Okay? So that tells me that the church today, if it has to suffer and go through some tribulation, I guarantee you we will not come out weaker. We will come out stronger. You may not like that. We may not like that. I might not like that, but it's the truth. You look at history when God's church has been persecuted, it came out stronger. I'm afraid we got a world, especially in North America, of very weak churches. Okay? It's a concern. Okay? Then, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain. Now, we're talking about people now that were offered a chance, like Noah in his day, to get on the boat and save their lives and their families. But they refused. It says that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. Torture, chains, imprisonment, beatings. Does that sound like a good thing to put your faith and trust in? When you might get tortured, you might get beat, you might be imprisoned. How many of you have heard some of the money preachers say this? You're a king's kid. I'm a king's kid. I won't suffer any of these things. That's not what God wants for you. That's not what my Bible says. Okay? Be careful of that. Okay. Just trying to decide what time we have left here. Okay, here we go. Here's where I want to end up. Okay? For by faith, the men of old gained approval. Now, we've seen that. Now, here's the question that a lot of people ask, and I'm sure you have too. Have you ever looked at some of these patriarchs? Noah, Abraham, David, Rahab. Okay? All of these people that is in Hebrews 11, if you want to look at the list, one thing that's interesting is the contrast between how the Scripture always gives the character flaws of these people. Right? It always does. Because it's God's word and the Scripture is true. But let me tell you what happens, and I want to make a very clear distinction. There are a lot of people confused about religion today. Would you agree? Let me tell you something that happens in every religion. You can check me out on it. If I'm wrong, come back and see me. We'll talk about it. Every religion has began with putting some man as their main figure. They raise him to the level of heroism. Try it. Check it out. The interesting thing about that, you can go check it out. They will never tell you about his character flaws. Unless you go digging yourself, you will never hear about them. Okay? I'll just give you a couple examples. We're not here to bash other religious churches, so to speak, but I want you to know, don't be fooled. Okay? There were people that... If I can just find a couple here. But anyway, I think you'll know what I'm talking about. So, there are people, for instance, that put Joseph Smith at a pretty high level. Wouldn't you say? Go back and look at his character flaws. Terrible. Okay? Brigham Young, a crook. Mohammed, a pedophile. I don't mind to say it. I don't care if they do hear it. You look at any religion, they will have a main figure that they have raised on man's doing to a level of status. What's the difference? Okay? Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. The only one. And by the way, he had no character flaws, none. So you can tell that to these people, okay? Why am I saying that? Well, because there are people that will look at the lives of these patriarchs that we're talking about and say, how could people like that, and after what they did, find favor with God? Legitimate question, right? Okay. Because they had faith enough to put their hope in Him regardless of what came their way. And God said, you know what? There's hope for that person. There's still hope for them. David failed big time. You look at him. I mean, Moses, what did he do? You see all the things that went wrong in their lives. There's things that went wrong. But yet they found favor with God. Here's the thing I want to leave you with. If there was no hope for them, there is no hope for not one person in this room. None. There's no hope if it's based on all our character flaws. Now, I want you to understand, don't go out and start practicing them. Don't need to do that. They'll come easy enough on their own. Okay? But if you think there's no hope after what you may have done or didn't do, I want you to know, if we look at these scriptures and what some of these people did, and God, if He says for them there's no hope, there's no hope for me and you. But here's the great thing. He knew that we were going to have character flaws. He knew that we were going to fail in so many areas of our life. But because there was hope for them, there is hope for me and you. So if you're feeling today that there's something in your life that has removed the hope and the faith that you should have, get on with asking God to help you get over that. Don't keep dragging an anchor of sins you've committed in your life. Ask for forgiveness and get on with God's business. Don't get into great arguments with people about things. I'll give you one example that I heard a man preach on not long ago. We get fighting within the church. You ever see that happen? Fighting in the church? No. Yeah, we do sometimes, okay? Sometimes nitpicking, but sometimes it gets pretty heated. And then we get in discussions and we get fighting over Scripture. It's okay, we need to look at Scripture. But don't get caught up in arguments about Scripture that really don't change anything. Let me give you an example. I've had this here with some of you. They were friendly, they weren't hostile. That's good. That's the way we need to keep it. But some would say, I believe that if you're supposedly living the Christian life and you're saved and you do a certain thing, it proves that you just lost your salvation. Okay, now just hang on. Don't get excited. We're not going to get into a big deal. But here's what I want you to know. Then there's the part that says, well, did they lose their salvation or did they backslide? Okay, there we go. Okay. Then there's the question as, were they ever saved in the first place, right? But let me tell you what I heard this man say, and it stuck with me, and it will continue to stick with me. He said, that is an argument or discussion that's been going on for a long time. Here's what we need to do. We need to just encourage each other to continue to do what is right. If we do, that argument is moot. Wouldn't you agree? It's not even necessary. So what we need to do is just encourage each other to do the right thing. Then we don't have to worry about what could be the repercussions, right? Wouldn't you say that's the way it is with your life? You know, just do the right thing. According to Scripture, live right, do right, okay? So, in closing, excuse me. I want you to know We need to put our faith and our hope, a sure hope, not an I wish, or maybe, the sure hope that we have in Jesus Christ. The days ahead are going to get, I think, pretty hostile. It's coming. It's on our doorstep. Okay? We can get into all kind of discussions about what's going on, and that can be okay if that's not our total focus every day. Are you concerned about what's happening in the world today? Yeah? You should be. But you should be more concerned about what God is doing in our world today. There are people out there, regardless of what they've done, maybe to me, maybe to you, maybe they've done all kinds of things to us. Would we look at them and say, forget them, there's no hope for them? How about it? If that were true, there was no hope for the patriarchs, and there's no hope for me and you. But there is. That's the good news. Okay? That's the good news. We have a sure hope when we put our faith and our hope in Jesus Christ, that no matter what comes, no matter what we face, guess what? He's going to reward us, and I will tell you where we're headed. This place means nothing. It said that Abraham was a sojourner and a foreigner in that land where he went. Let me tell you, that's what we are. In this place that we live now, we are like strangers and sojourners, according to the world. But I'm headed to a better city, like Abraham. I'm headed to a better place, a better city that we can't even imagine, humanly speaking, what that's going to be like. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are. Thank you very much. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, first of all, you providing our time and the breath of life that we have today. Father, we thank you for the people that have set the examples of old, that though they were flawed in many ways as we are, they still found favor in your eyes. And we ask that we could do that, each one of us today. And I just pray for everyone here that we will continue in that hope and in the blessed hope that we know that you are coming back for us, and maybe very soon. We just pray for the ones that couldn't be here today. God, suit a blessing to them. And we just pray that this COVID thing will go away and that we could get back to doing the things for you unhindered. And we just ask this all in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.